The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you want to mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you want to jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run. Yeah.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is Coach Speak, the Jerry Springer-style final thoughts edition as we are in the home stretch here, approaching the NFL draft, coming up very shortly. I want to start here, and this is something that's been alluded to in some of the recent interviews with the staff. Nobody's perfect. The Bengals are picking at 31. They don't have a top 10 pick. And then as it gets deeper into the draft, you know, that trend continues, right? Like, there's going to be bigger warts. There's going to be bigger issues with these guys as you get deeper and deeper into this draft. So, nobody's perfect. What it comes down to, this is something that you know, they talked about in their interviews this week. Can I work with this guy? Can I develop this guy? You know, do they have the things that I can get something out of? So, you know, a lot of times we look at their athletic traits, we look at their testing, we say, well, this guy, you know, has the testing, you know, maybe we can get something out of him. And, you know, hey, that's one way to look at it. And that's, you know, absolutely something that can work out for you. You know, sometimes a guy just hasn't been used in the right way, just hasn't developed a certain skill, but they have the athletic profile. And, you know, that shows you that they do have some upside. But other times it's just finding a guy who can do something for you, you know, who fits into a certain role, can do something that maybe other people, other teams might not value as much as you do. So just pick out those little things that are important to you, you know, and they can fit with you and, you know, where you can carve out a niche, carve out a role for a guy. I think those things make a lot of sense. You know, obviously, drafting the athletic profile makes a lot of sense. You know, we'll look at the tight end position, for example. You know, Bellinger's a guy who's got that great profile and low production. So what's that all about? You know, he only had 12% target rate at San Diego State. So, you know, are the coaches dumb or do they know something we don't know? You know, I think you look at Drew Sample was a guy who was like that. Coming out of Washington, and, you know, people say, well, they drafted a blocking tight end. They didn't draft a blocking tight end. They drafted a blocking tight end with a really high athletic profile who they thought they could turn into more. And we see some issues with his ball skills, things like that. You know, and the explanation at the time might have been, well, he's not developed as a pass catcher because he had a good tight end in front of him the year before. And because, you know, they had some good receivers there. They had the John Ross. They had, you know, Dante Pettis. You know, they've had some pretty good receivers that have come through there too. So, you know, maybe that was the excuse or the rationale for that. But what is it for Bellinger? I mean, I know was dealing with a staff change, you know, was dealing with a first-time coordinator. You know, is that the reason for the low target? Were they making bad decisions or is he lacking something? That's what you're asking. Now, then, conversely, I don't know. Anyway, on the other hand, you get a guy like Cole Turner from Nevada. Doesn't have the testing, right? Not terrible, though, right? And that's the thing. I think some, like, this drives me crazy sometimes. If people are just like, oh, man, his testing sucks. No, he's like, he's in the sevens. Like, it's not great, but it's fine. You know what I mean? They're not gonna. That's not taking you off a guy's off of anybody's draft board. And what that guy does is he's really good in contested situations, really good in jump ball situations. What does that do? That matches up very well. Meshes up very well with one Mr. Joe Burrow. So when you're taking a guy in a later round like that, you know, that could just be a guy that has a role in that situation. You know, he is more your pass catching guy. Maybe he samples playing a little bit more, especially on early downs, you know, and you mix in some Turner for those situations where he complements Sample nicely because he does well the thing that Sample does most poorly. And you're taking, like, it's a low round pick, you know what I mean? So it's like, if you're looking for that guy, you know, like, you could still take a tight end next year. You know, if you're looking for, like, a more full-time guy, and Turner's a guy who I still think could fit and have a role in that type of scenario as well. So, yeah, let's get into that. Let's talk a little bit about tight ends. And, look, you have types. You know, tight end and receiver in particular positions where you talk about that, there are different kinds of guys. You know, in the Bengals, they had Sample, they expected certain things out of. They had CJ, they expected certain things out of. You know, I think Hurst is a little bit of a different kind of guy than those guys. You know, so you have your true inline, big, you know, guys who are really good blockers and can catch some passes and, you know, more a little kind of physical after the catch type of guys. You have guys who are a little bit maybe shorter, maybe, you know, move a little bit more, you know, who you're going to play off the ball more. Your true, like, H types. Think Tyler Kroft, but also, you know, think like a Dolchik. You know, he's a little bit of that guy, but now more of a pass catcher than a Kroft. And then you've got your guys who you're moving all around the field. You're putting in the slot. You know, you're spreading out at receiver, and you're lining up at tight end, and you're moving to the backfield. Like, you've got those kind of moving piece guys who really probably a little bit more like big receivers. So what do you want, you know, is what it comes down to. It's really hard to rank the tight end position. And I think, I honestly could probably do like a podcast series on the tight end position because I think it's a very misunderstood position. We try to box it up. But what do you want? What are you trying to get? You know, I think we're going to see a little bit of that from this team. And again, you know, maybe a Bellinger and a Cole Turner, they're not really in the same conversation. They're not seen the same way from this team. They could both have roles or niches within this team, but maybe they're not really seen that same way because they're a different type. It's the same thing with receivers. You know, you've got big outside speed guys. You just got bigger, kind of more physical jump ball outside guys like your Auden Tates. You've got bigger slots who are, you know, kind of more physical guys on the inside, but you also got small slots, which is something this team hasn't really done too much of. You know, you got Trent Taylor coming in there and making a big play in the playoffs, but, you know, outside of that, you know, not something they've seen too much of. Now, those guys often is where you find returners, like with a Trent Taylor, like in this year's draft, Shakir from Boise State, Kyle Phillips from UCLA, Velus, I keep adding a V to his name, calling him Velvis, but Velus Jones from Tennessee, you know, guys that kind of fit into that niche. Return game help and you know, slot, kind of a different type of receiver. I think they could be in the Bengals' radar for those reasons. But I also think that they'll look to add an outside type receiver who's a little bit bigger and can stretch the field on the outside in case they are dealing with an injury from any of their receivers, you know, Higgins or Chase in the upcoming year at all. You know, remember, Auden Tate was supposed to be that guy. You know, Auden Tate, you know, was dealing with his own injury last year. So I think they really need that type of guy as well. You know, I'm going to double back to the tight end position for a second here. Tight ends are really, like I mentioned, Bellinger and Cole Turner and, you know, kind of briefly Dulcich. You know, I think Dulcich makes a lot of sense for them. I just think he might be a little rich for their blood. You know, Kohler from Iowa State. You know, in the third, maybe the fourth round, like, that could be a really good pick for them as well. I think Dulcich and Kohler are the only guys who really, where their testing matches up and represents what we see on the field out of them. I don't really feel like these other guys that have great testing, I feel like you're not seeing it really on the film. I feel like those guys check both of those boxes and are pretty safe picks and, you know, really high-end prospects in my mind for that reason. So, both of those positions, by the way, that slot returner type and the tight end, you know, I feel like the sweet spot's kind of right around that fourth round, right? Right in the, you know, right in that type of range, maybe with third, fourth, fifth. So I think it might be hard to get both. You know, I feel like that both are probably something that they might target and find the right kind of guy and the right kind of value at the beginning of day three in that fourth round. So I think it will be a little bit tough to develop to acquire both in this year's draft. Now let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think there's different types of edge rushers as well. We tend to fall in love with their really slick, bendy guys, and the Bengals don't tend to love those guys. You know, they tend to like the really, really physical guys, and they can get after the quarterback, but they're physical. They're going to hold the edge. You know, big, stout, you know, stronger guys. Like Karloftis, you know, would be a good example. If he slips in the first round, I think he could definitely be in place, play for the Bengals from Purdue. So there are different types of guys like that. You know, you also get like your AC/DC guys, you know, your inside outside guys. Zachary Carter would be a day three option for that. I really think that's what Logan Hall is. I don't think he's really a three technique. But, you know, I think he has some value in that type of role. I think the way they used to use Sam Hubbard, they don't quite do that as much with him anymore. But really an early down, really an edge who can play, who can rush the passer from the interior. Speaking of rushing the passer from the interior, I think this draft is really, really slim in that area. So if they want one, they got to jump at it. You know, they got to do something fast. You know, I'm thinking of the, you know, Spaceballs, do something. When everything was going down at the end there, but yeah, so really shallow. I mean, that's why a bigger thing. I think the best value might be there in the first round. You know, I think in the second round, you're hoping for one of those guys we talked about, Jones or Hall or Perrion Winfrey to slip into your slot. Slip into your slot. Wow, that was terrible. I should edit this, but I won't. Anyway, just slip into the end of the second round. And, you know, maybe a Matthew Butler a little bit later than that. But, it's just pretty slim pickings, I feel like, from that spot. You're not going to find, like, the guy you want there. And I really feel like they should be looking for a serious, like, three technique that can come in and be the dude and, you know, take over. You know, B.J. Hill can kind of be the starter first. But, you know, the rep count shifting during the year with both playing a pivotal important role like they had last year with Ogunjobi and Hill, but with the rookie taking over. I would love to see that, but man, it's probably gonna have to be early. Probably have to be round one for they can do that. But hey, they have another needs. They've got corner, they've got safety, you know, things that they could hit in the first round as well. Obviously O-line, D-line, outside D-line, edge, I mentioned as well, but corner safety, you know, I think there's going to be some pretty good options on into day two with those, but some really high end guys that we talked about as well. You know, with Dax Hill, you know, being a great option in the first round, I think. With Kyrie Elam, scares me a little bit just because of he's not the bad tackler people make him out to be. He's just sometimes reluctant to put his nose in there. I feel like when he thinks somebody else is going to make the play. And I want to know the source of that. So it scares me a little bit. But I like him for a lot of reasons. And I think he's one of the top coverage guys in this draft. I think he's really good. You know, Cam Taylor-Britt's guy gets talked about a lot. I think he's in an excellent corner. I think Alante Taylor should be in the conversation at both positions on day two. I think he has a profile to develop excellent, you know, skills there. And I think the Bengals are going to absolutely love that guy. You know, from a leadership perspective, from a physicality perspective, I think he checks a lot of boxes for them. And finally, Brian Cook from Cincinnati is another guy, I think, in that same type of range who could be a really good option at the safety position for them. And, you know, I'm going to mention one more. Leon O'Neal, day three safety. Man, if they don't get somebody in those first 2 days, I think Leon O'Neal is being slept on seriously this year. So keep an eye out for that name. All right, this was the final thoughts edition of Coach Speak. We'll see if I change my mind on this and end up putting out another one before the draft. But, stick it out. Stay tuned. Cincy Jungle and the podcast. Lots of draft content coming to Cincy Jungle over the weekend. throughout the draft, reactions to picks, as well as best available, things along those lines. So check that stuff out. Hooday. Yeah, we coming for what's ours. Yeah, we coming for what's ours. You hear the crowd, we coming for what's ours.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.